Rain Man, you are on with Mike Shinoda.
Michael Kenji Shinoda of Linkin Park, how are you?
What's up, man?
Pleasure to talk to you, man. Long time I've been playing your music, and it's about time that we've had this chance.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Now, obviously, Fort Minor is a little something else that you do. You are, let's just say, well-versed, and you've kind of got your yourself involved in a lot of different types of music.
I have been known to dabble in many different things.
What's your favorite thing to do? Is it performing or producing?
At this point, I'm really excited about being in the studio and writing. It's been that way for a while. So, you know, I love playing shows, but I just, something about the act of, like, making something out of nothing is, you know, that's where it's at for me.
Framework's in your head, and then to be able to go into a studio, pull it off, and then the end result is beautiful or exactly what you kind of envisioned, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've had the opportunity to be in a leadership role, production role on most of the Linkin Park records, but specifically even more so in the last couple. So it's been fun. And you know, I mean, you know, speaking of that, it's just like when you go into the studio, and especially for our band, we're not the type of guys that you want to just like repeat what we did last time. We really challenge ourselves to go into some new territory and try out some different stuff. Maybe even at the, you know, expense of losing some people who might not like what you know when you step so far outside the box.
Dude, that's exactly one of the reasons that I completely love and respect your band. I read a quote, and you can get back into your point and attribute it to this. Basically, it was along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing, you kind of brought the guitar down in the mix on the most recent Linkin Park album and pushed the electronics up just a hair.
I think that's a really, in really simple terms, that is to say that the hip-hop stuff, the electronic stuff, has always been a part of our sound. Even on Hybrid Theory, if you were to really pay attention to it, it just plays more of a supporting role. So on the new record, you know, it's written differently. There's more of an electronic thing, and it's written to be in the front. And then the guitar plays a little more of a supporting role. But that's just one facet of, you know, what makes the record different.
I think it's a brilliant album. I really do.
Thanks, man.
I mean, I hear some, and you tell me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe I read somewhere that you kind of are a big U2 fan, and you can definitely hear, I guess maybe song structure-wise, a little bit of that influence in there.
I mean, we're fans of a lot of different types of music, you know? Classic rock, modern stuff, alternative, hip-hop, electronic. I mean, dubstep, you know, the more trip-hop style stuff. You know, there's tons and tons of, like, different great bands, albums, and songs out there that I listen to or have listened to, and you know, occasionally that stuff just kind of mixes and matches and turns into some inspiration. But really, when we're going into a record, like, I felt like with the first record, with Hybrid Theory and Meteora to some extent, we were establishing a sound that we felt was new. You know, at the time, everybody was doing, there was a lot of new metal out there, and a lot of it was really testosterone filled.
Sure.
We joked around calling it frat rock, meaning that, like, you'd basically get drunk and fist fight to it.
Yeah.
And our record wasn't about that. It was more, I felt like it was more three-dimensional. I felt like we really wanted to blend the hip-hop and the rock in a more cohesive way. And show a side of, like, you know, some weakness, but not be too afraid to, like, let that be in the lyrics as well. So, at a certain point, though, that thing wasn't new anymore. It wasn't fresh anymore. And we knew that if we made a third record that sounded like that, we would just be stuck doing that forever.
And there's a lot of musicians, we could go down the list in different genres or whatnot, that they do. They regurgitate the same album over and over again.
Yeah, and I'm not knocking that. Like, if that's what a band is comfortable doing, and that's, they like doing that, then, you know, I'm a painter as well. Like, I know certain artists who are friends of mine who do very similar things. They brand themselves with a certain thing each time it's a variation on that. It's, you know, that's successful. That can be very successful. It's very, it's got its own challenges. For us, the thing that we look forward to doing when we get in the studio is to do something that's feels really fresh and new and different from other things that we've done. And I don't know if it's that's the way it's always going to be, but it's definitely the way it's been for the last couple records. On Minutes to Midnight, we started experimenting outside the box, and then I feel like we got comfortable being uncomfortable. And we ended up on A Thousand Suns, the new record, just being, you know, really going out there and trying to make something that sounded unique and different and our own.
It's as much for you guys as it is for your fans.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's talk about Iridescent on the new album, which is obviously in the new Transformers flick on the soundtrack. This is your second song in consecutive films dealing with that. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, we've had, it's actually been all three movies. We did the title track.
That's right.
I guess they call it title track. On the first movie, they approached us just basically to include something that we've already got. That we hadn't released, which was What I've Done. At that point, it was just like, I think the thing that drew us to the Transformers thing was the nostalgia, the fact that we played with the toys and watched the cartoon growing up. Like, I loved Transformers growing up. I loved Starscream and Megatron and Soundwave and all of these, you know, specifically Starscream and Megatron. I like played with them all the time. That was like the toy that I'd carry around and wouldn't like leave home without.
It was almost like your Binky.
You know what I'm saying? Like every kid, like little kids have those toys where they just want to carry them around with them all the time.
No doubt.
And that was, you know, that was me. So when, you know, we got the opportunity to work on this, on that movie, it was really, I think that was the connection for us. The second movie, we wrote New Divide specifically for the movie, and then we got a chance to work on the score, which was a lot of fun. And on the new one, we were actually on tour so heavily that we couldn't write something specifically for the movie. So Michael talked to us about, you know, well, what are you guys planning to do? And I said, well, we're going to get behind Iridescent. It's a fan favorite. Like, every time we play a show, this song is just a special moment in the show, the section with the Let It Go. The bridge, those are the words.
It's a great song.
The fans always sing that part really loud. And he took the song and plugged it into the movie in a bunch of different scenes and loved how, you know, it is a different kind of song for the movie. So he loved the difference in the tone, and it all worked out really well.
It definitely has, man. Can we talk about your Japanese roots? And I read some very interesting quotes about you having gone to Japan for the first time, and I know you've gone since, but the familiarity because of your heritage. Talk to me about that. I think this is fascinating.
Well, I'm half Japanese. I grew up here in L.A. with I've got a lot of my Japanese family is somewhat nearby, and we always get together like at least, you know, once or twice a year. We used to get together at my aunt's house for New Year's every year, and all kinds of traditional food, and so the first time I went to Japan, we were playing our, you know, show in Tokyo, and I remember that when I got off the plane, I remember it feeling really familiar, and what the strangest part about it for me was that it smelled familiar. I realized that, you know, it smelled like my aunt's house. It smelled like New Year's. So, you know, that was just a strange feeling of familiarity for me, and I've always had a really special connection to the place and the people. And most recently, when the earthquake and tsunami hit, we have an organization called Music for Relief. That organization is a little over 5 years old. We've been working since the tsunami in South Asia, Haiti, California wildfires, and various projects all over the world. We also do a bunch of climate combating climate change. And so this thing that happened in Japan is really it's kind of in our domain. This is what Music for Relief does. So we got to work. We did a couple different things that your listeners might be interested in. We released some shirts. That the proceeds go to Japan, and then we also have a project called Download to Donate, where you can go and you get access to a library of music for $10 or more, a donation, and the music flows 100% of the money flows directly to Japan. the music, if new songs, I should say as new songs get added, you get access to those too. So if there's, you know, 10 songs one day and 20 songs the next day, no matter when you donate money, you get access to all that music.
And obviously, go right to your website, the band's website, and get...
Yeah, you know, I would go to downloadtodonate.org.
It's amazing the things that you guys do to give back. I think that's phenomenal.
Thank you, man.
So, yeah, Mike, I appreciate it. I know we're on a time limit, and I think we're getting to the end of it. So I appreciate your time very much. I thank you for doing this with me.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's been cool, and I hope people enjoy the new song, enjoy the video, and you can check us out at LincolnPark.com. What's up, you guys? It's Mike Shinoda from Lincoln Park, and you are listening to K-Rock.